All right, buksan natin ang ating Bibles. Let's go ahead and open them to the book of Acts, chapter number 15. Acts chapter 15. Now, before we begin, I want to do a slight review of what we talked about last week. Last week, we looked at Paul and Barnabas endeavoring to go out from Antioch. They were sent out. Look at Acts chapter number 14. Look over in Acts chapter number 14 and verse number 27. Acts chapter 14, verse 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God hath done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there, and the church of Antioch, there they abode long time with the disciples. And again, the church is called the disciples at the church at Antioch. So after Paul and Barnabas sailed at Cyprus and Paphos and came up to Perga, they went up to Antioch and planted a church at Antioch. Then they went to Iconium, planted a church in Iconium, went to Lystra and went to Derbe, planted churches there. This will be the southern Galatia area na kung saan yung first missionary journey nila, nagtaguyod sila ng apat o lima na mga churches na alam natin. Okay? And so that's five churches there, four specifically mentioned. And one here is implied. And so we have those churches in the first missionary journey. So when you think of Paul and Barnabas' first missionary journey, always think South Galatia, Southern Galatia, right? This here is now modern-day Turkey. Okay, modern-day Turkey and Lebanon, yung sumabog, no? Na 2 weeks ago, there was an explosion in Lebanon. That was over here. You could see the Lebanon and Beirut right here. Okay, and the church at Antioch is just right up north in Syria. And so, kind of makes it relevant here. So anyway, after they have established churches here, they went back and sailed back to Antioch and gathered the church and rehearsed all that God hath done with them, establishing churches in southern Galatia. And in verse 28 it says, and there they abode long time with the disciples. So we don't know how long they stayed there, but most likely probably a year. And within that year, Paul wrote Galatians. Paul wrote his first letter to the churches in Galatia. Let's go to the book of Galatians, chapter number 1. Let's look at that. Galatians, chapter number 1. And let's look at that. Galatians, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me. Who's the brethren which are with him? The brethren of the church at Antioch. Barnabas and all the men and the teachers and preachers of Antioch. Unto the churches of Galatia. What are those churches of Galatia? Go back to Acts, basically. Let's go back to Acts chapter 14. What are those churches in Galatia that he talked about? That's this. Antioch, Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, with a letter E instead of a Y. Derbe. And this is Antioch, Pisidia. This is Antioch, Syria. And now he is in Antioch, Syria. And he writes the letter to Galatia, the churches of Galatia, because the churches of Galatia were under attack. There were Jews that did not like what Paul was preaching about, liberty in Jesus Christ, not having to follow the Mosaic law, that the ceremonial law of Moses has been complete and satisfied by Jesus Christ. And so we don't practice the Mosaic laws, the dietary laws and laws of circumcision and offering up animals and keeping the Sabbath day. Those are all ceremonial, religious, national laws that no longer apply to the Christian. And that's the entire book of Galatians is basically Paul protecting the churches that he planted from falling into error, falling into false doctrine concerning legalism. And legalism means basically trying to maintain your salvation by doing good works. Okay? And Paul is saying, no, you're saved by grace and you're kept by grace as well. Now, you're salvation produces good works, but we do not do good works in order to get saved. We do good works because we are saved. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about. Justification by faith, not by works, but by faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, and what we'll discover is that everywhere Paul went, practically everywhere he went, the unbelieving Jews followed him to destroy the works that he's trying to establish for the Lord. And so now we have the first letter written by Paul, Galatians, to the churches of Galatia. And he most likely wrote this while he was at Antioch. Now, some people would teach, you know, he wrote it later in his ministry, and I won't debate that. I think that's, you know, if you feel that strong about it, fine. At least we have his letter. That's the most important thing. But I do believe he wrote it before Acts chapter 15, before the Jerusalem church hashed out their doctrinal position regarding Gentile believers. And I'm sure Paul had a lot to say about that. And anyway, so now let's go to Acts chapter 15, verse 36. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, hey, let's go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. So basically, Paul wants to go back to Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, to Paphos, and see how the churches are doing. Verse 37, Barnabas determined to take with them John. Now you remember John left the work of the ministry as they entered into Asia Minor. When they came from Paphos, they landed here, and that's where John Mark said, I'm out of here. I'm not continuing with this work. So he forsook the work of the ministry. He left the work of the ministry. Now Barnabas wants to give John Mark a second chance, but Paul didn't feel that it was time for John Mark to get a second chance. So look at verse 38. But Paul thought not good to take him with them who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between Paul and Barnabas that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark, John Mark, and sailed unto Cyprus. Why would Barnabas sail unto Cyprus? Oh, remember Sergius Paulus who got saved? There were believers in Cyprus. The implication is there's a church work there, maybe two or three even. And so don't discount the church at Paphos, perhaps, or the churches of Cyprus. Remember, men of Cyprus planted the church in Antioch. So there had to have been churches here. We just don't know. But apparently Barnabas and Mark went to Cyprus, and Paul took with him Silas or Silvanus, same guy. And instead of going this way, Paul and Silas goes this way into southern Galatia to check on those churches. And then sometime in the future, Barnabas will be working at the church at Corinth. And Paul and them will be reunited again. John Mark becomes very, very useful to Paul in the work of the ministry later. And Paul even says, bring Mark, you know, because he's profitable for the work of the ministry. So whatever happened to Barnabas and John Mark, we won't read about them again after this passage of Scripture. But God is not finished with them, and God certainly used Barnabas to encourage John Mark. And Paul eventually acknowledged John Mark as a valuable, useful man in the ministry. In fact, John Mark is the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. So you've got four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And John Mark is blessed to even write a story about Jesus Christ. So that's a fantastic thing. Yes. What is it? Very good. It's pretty much the similar stories, isn't it? Yeah, Mark. So Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark. Very good. And I'm glad you read it. Fantastic. Now you got to read the book of John. Okay?
I read the first four books.
Yes, you did. Okay. All right. So now let's look again in verse number 40, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia. Now, wait a minute. Why would Paul go through Syria and Cilicia? Could it be that there are churches there? Yes, we know there's Antioch's churches in Syria. Damascus church was in Syria where Paul was baptized. And then we know Paul ministered in Tarsus for at least 10 years before all this happened. And so in his 10-year silent ministry, no doubt there were churches that were planted in Cilicia and Syria. So we don't have a record of those churches. But we could, I'll show you later that there were brethren in Cilicia. They're called brethren. And let's see. Oh boy. I should have marked that one. Anyway, well, we'll get there when we get there. Anyway, but there are churches in Syria and Cilicia, most likely from the ministry of Paul, when he was a new convert. When he was well, not new. He's been 3 years old in the ministry, preaching in Damascus, and then going to Jerusalem, and then going to Tarsus, and of course that in Tarsus is where Barnabas took him and help establish the work in Antioch, Syria. All right, so now we're embarking into Paul's second missionary journey. And so he starts here, and he goes this way. And when he comes to Derbe and Lystra and Iconium, he picks up one young man, and that is Timothy. And where did Timothy come from? Well, a year ago, Paul and Barnabas established works in Derbe, Lystra, and Iconium, churches. And Timothy had a good name and recommendation from the brethren in Iconium and Lystra. And so Paul harvested a worker, a young man worker named Timothy. And Timothy is a fantastic Bible character to study. A young man in the ministry, and eventually grows into a man of God. By the time Paul writes 2 Timothy, at the end of Paul's life, Paul called Timothy man of God. And before that, he called Timothy, my son in the faith. So when he was young, he's the son in the faith. And when he's older and more established, he calls him man of God. It's a great study to study Timothy. And so maybe we'll do Bible characters sometime in the future. You never know. But anyway, so Acts chapter 16, verse number 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren, which were at Lystra and Iconium. And so he joins the missionary team. Now it's Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Okay? Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Let's look at verse number 6. Now when they had gone throughout Persia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after that they were come to Mysia, they essayed, they studied. The word essayed means to study. They essayed to go into Bithynia. And so, here it is. They traveled here. And then they wanted to see, could we preach the word of God up in Asia here? And the Holy Spirit said, no. Should we preach the word of God over here? And the Holy Spirit said, no. And they essayed, they studied. What about Bithynia? Maybe we can preach the word of God there. And the Spirit said, no. Verse number 7, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed, they studied to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So, passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And there's Troas, right there. And from Troas, that's where Paul gets the vision of the Macedonian call. Macedonia is over here, beyond the Aegean Sea. And come over and help us, the vision said. after he had seen the vision, immediately we, look at verse number 10, we endeavored to go. Who's we? Who wrote the book of Acts? Luke, correct. So now Paul's missionary team is made up of who? Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Dr. Luke. Dr. Luke, the physician, the historian, the missionary, just a good man. And so they were there, and they go basically to Philippi. Look at verse number 12. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were there in that city abiding certain days. Now, so they got to Philippi and planted a church in Philippi. Who was their first convert in Philippi? Do you remember? Lydia, right? The seller of purple. And she is from Thyatira. Lydia is from Thyatira, somewhere here. or somewhere here, actually. And eventually we read in the book of Revelation, there's a church in Thyatira. Now she used her resources, she used her house to help start the church at Philippi. Look at verse number 15, Acts chapter 16, verse number 15. And when she was baptized, and see, there you go, she got saved and she was baptized. And her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. She offered her house to be a place where they can worship the Lord. And so that establishes the work at Philippi. They leave Dr. Luke at Philippi, and Paul, Silas, and Timothy moves on to Thessalonica. They traveled down the Ignatian Road into Thessalonica. And when they got to Thessalonica, look at Acts chapter 17, verse number 1. Acts chapter 17, verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. And there was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them 3 Sabbath days. So how long was Paul in Thessalonica? He was only there for 3 weeks. But even in 3 weeks' time, there was so many people who believed and were baptized, and they established the church in Thessalonica. See, it doesn't take long to establish the church. You just make sure you have committed disciples. Committed disciples. That's the key. And so, 3 Sabbath days. Look at verse number 4, Acts chapter 17, verse 4. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. Consorted means that they associated themselves. So they were baptized. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. So a lot of Greeks, not just Jews, but Greeks also. And of chief women, not a few. Okay, there's a lot of men and women, Greek men and women here. So in Thessalonica. And look at verse 6. They met at Jason's house. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying that these have turned the world upside down, have come hither also, whom Jason hath received. Verse number 7. So they used Lydia's house in Philippi. They used Jason's house in Thessalonica to have the church. See, the church is not a building. It's wherever the assembled believers who are baptized decide to assemble. So if the church says, we're going to meet at the parking lot and have church out in the parking lot, guess what? That's where the church is. If the church says, we're going to meet out in the cornfield under a tent, that's where the church is. You see, it has nothing to do with a structure building. It's nice to have a building. But the biblical model of a church is wherever the assembly assembles. All right? And so let's see. Verse number 10, Acts 17, verse number 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. So he goes from there to Berea. To Berea. And what did they do in Berea? They preached the word of God in the synagogue again. look at verse number 11. And these were more noble, the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They did not just receive what Paul was preaching. They studied the Bible. They looked at the scriptures to say, is Paul speaking the truth? Is Jesus really the Messiah? Did he come to fulfill Moses and the law? And they examined the scriptures. And when they examined the scriptures, they found out, yes, Paul is preaching the truth. And they were more noble, it says, than those in Thessalonica. So, that's a good church, whether those things were so. Verse number 12, therefore many of them believed, and also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. So this time Luke does a backward thing. Now he begins with the women, and then says the men, not a few. And so there's the church in Berea. The church in Berea. So he leaves, Paul leaves, Luke. I'm sorry, he left Luke in Philippi. He left the brethren here in Thessalonica, and he leaves Silas and Timothy in Berea. And he moves on alone into Athens, and most likely took a boat to Athens. And in Athens, he preaches the word, and look at verse 34, Acts chapter 17, verse number 34. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among them which was Dionysius, the Areopagite. He's from a little town called Areopagite, Areopagite, or whatever. And a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So was there a church in Athens that was established? Yes, the implication is yes. And Paul was alone, and yet the work of the Lord was established there. And then, of course, Silas and Timothy joins him apparently later. They catch up to him. Okay? He requested them. Let's look at now Acts chapter 18. And after these things, departed from Athens, came to Corinth. And so he comes from Athens to Corinth. And he spends a lot of time in Corinth. Let's look at verse number 7. He departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue. The chief ruler of the synagogue himself believed on the Lord. That's astounding. That's great. And believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. So was there a church in Corinth that was established? Yes. And we know later Paul is going to write 1st and 2nd Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and Philippi. He's going to write Philippians later down the road. Anyway, so it's all about churches. These are all about churches. Verse number 11, and he continued there a year and 6 months. 18 months ministry he was in Corinth for 18 months, preaching, teaching, and reasoning, and establishing that work. Look at verse number 18. And Paul, after this, there yet a good while, then took his leave of the brethren. He had to leave the brethren, the church at Corinth, and sailed thence into Syria with him, this time with Priscilla and Aquila. So when he got to Corinth, there was already a Christian Jew named Aquila and Priscilla. And Aquila and Priscilla joins Paul as he travels to Ephesus. And when he gets to Ephesus, he preaches the word in the synagogue, and many Jews believed, and they didn't want Paul to leave. They wanted Paul to stay. And Paul said, I'm sorry, I made a vow. I think when they were stoning him, persecuting him, he must have promised the Lord that, Lord, if you get me out of this bind, I'm going to fulfill my vow. And the Lord did. And so he made a promise to God that he was going to fulfill his vow in Jerusalem. And he's going to go back to Jerusalem here, fulfill his vow, and then report again to Antioch. But he had to leave the converts in Ephesus. And who does he leave with them? Aquila and Priscilla. Look at verse 22. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he spent some time there, verse 23, he departed and went all over the country of Galatia and Persia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And so Aquila and Priscilla will then in Ephesus, they have a house in Ephesus, and they come in contact with Apollos. And Apollos was a powerful man in the scriptures, but he wasn't saved. And then Aquila and Priscilla takes him under and witnesses to him about the way, the Lord Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Apollos gets saved. And then Apollos goes under the recommendation of Aquila and Priscilla with a letter that the Corinthian believers would receive Apollos, and Apollos preaches at Corinth. Do you get what this is? Aquila and Priscilla are the only two that we know of that started a work with Paul at Ephesus. And you know what the promise of God is? Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. So what's the smallest unit? What's the smallest number of people you can have for church? Two or three, according to the word of God. if you had two or three baptized believers who assemble to obey the Lord and proclaim it, do His great commission, the discipleship, that's a church. That's a church. And so it doesn't matter the size of a church. What matters is that church obeying the Lord? Are they obedient to the Lord? Okay, so you can have a big church, but if your big church is a bunch of backslidden heathens, that's not a good thing. You can have 100,000 church members, but if they're not obedient to God, that's just numbers. You can have a church of two or three, and the Lord is in their midst. Hey, they have the Lord in the midst. That's what matters, you see. That's biblical church, you see. All right, so we have Paul's second missionary journey, establishing, strengthening churches, planting new churches, and on it goes. So when you think of his second missionary journey, think Corinth, think Greece. When you think of his first missionary journey, think southern Galatia. And here, somewhere between here, Paul heard about Thessalonica, how they were floundering. And so he writes 1 and 2 Thessalonians. He wrote 1 and 2 Thessalonians while he was at Corinth. All right. Okay, any questions? Do we have any questions at all? Kung walang tanong, di pwede tayong matapos tonight. We'll be done tonight then. But since there's a lag, I want to give time if there's any questions as we're studying through these churches here. Okay, so feel free to ask. I know I'm speaking a lot, but I don't mean to just pound through all this. I want interaction. If you need interaction or questions, be more than glad to answer some questions here. Okay? We're good?
You just stopped talking. I mean, so you just said to ask.
Okay, so okay. Let's give it another, yeah, a couple minutes here. Okay. Father in heaven, Lord, we're thankful that we can learn about the churches of the New Testament and how we see your hand of grace upon the lives of people who respond by faith to your call, Lord, and how important it is to preach and teach and proclaim your word by faith and allow the word of God to do the work in the hearts of people and how people respond to the word, and your work grows as a result of receiving your word. And so, Lord, we thank you, and I pray that your word would establish our work in Tuktukan and beyond. We ask these things now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.